Support for WOSU comes from OSU Marketing. In the latest episode of Now at Ohio State, two experts discuss the benefits of regenerative farming techniques and how caring for soil can help improve sustainability. Listen on Apple and Google Podcasts or visit osu.edu/now.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, August 10th at 10:23 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like all the lawn signs for issue one will be gone and not still up on people's lawns. Seems like those who win tend to keep their lawn signs up just a bit longer. Anyway, let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those snollygosters, those shrewd politicians. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, how Ohio Republicans are like a character in one of Aesop's fables. But first, Ohioans like their Constitution just the way it is. Nearly 4 in 10 registered voters came out in the heat of late July and early August to reject Issue 1. They said no to requiring future amendments to get 60% of the vote, and they said no to tougher requirements for citizen groups to put amendments on the ballot. Liz Walters chairs the Ohio Democratic Party.
Anytime politicians try to take the voice of the people away from them, this is what happens. And so I can't say enough about how proud I am about the voters of Ohio for making their voice heard tonight and making sure that we are telling out-of-touch, corrupt politicians in the State House that we will not go back and we will not give up our power.
It was a rare win for statewide Democrats. Voters in large metropolitan counties opposed the issue. Smaller rural counties largely supported Issue 1, but they were divided. Supporters of the issue, like Senate President Matt Huffman, tried to explain away the loss, saying they did not have enough time to get their message out and not enough high-profile Republicans campaigning for it.
There were some key folks on our side of the aisle, Republicans especially, who actively opposed this, some pretty vociferously. And then there were key Republicans who simply didn't support it, who should have been doing that also.
No doubt this was a proxy vote on the abortion issue. And abortion rights opponents like Ohio Right to Life President Mike Ganadakis vow to regroup.
They'll come home. Look, when you have weed and you have abortion on the ballot in November, we're going to solidify our conservative base here in Ohio and vote no on both of them this November.
Well, this week I interviewed a pair of leading advocates for each side. Issue 1 supporter, Columbus attorney Frank Stregeri, who was the chief legal counsel for the Ohio Senate, and Issue 1 opponent, former Columbus Dispatch associate publisher and Democratic state rep, Mike Curtin. Frank, let's start with you. Here are the reasons the yes on one side have given for their loss. Ohio Right to Life blames out-of-state special interests. Even though the state legislature set the starting line and put this on the ballot, Senate President Huffman said the opposition had, quote, a head start, and they didn't have enough time to defeat the opposition. And he also said there was not enough support from current and former elected Republican leaders. When you lose by 14 points, 57 to 43, isn't it safe to say voters simply didn't like your idea?
Well, I think that the voters definitely spoke last night, and we heard them. I'm happy to say that the turnout, I know like you and Joe were talking about, was pretty overwhelming and was unexpected. And it was it's good to see that when you get the voters engaged, that they come out and participate. In response to your question, I would agree with all three of those points, obviously in varying degrees, yes. Of course, though. When you have a lot of money, when you're being outspent by a significant amount of money, like everyone understands was the case here, I think the Senate president was talking to specifically how, you know, he was hoping to have it on the May ballot. And be able to obviously have a conversation about it, you know, longer and in depth, because they were talking about it back at the end of last year. So the longer you have the ability to talk about it with folks, the better it is. And I think it just gives a better perspective to the voters. And, you know, but listen, there was a lot of, on both sides, there was a lot of misinformation out there about what was really going on. I really truly believe that if voters did have the opportunity to understand just what it was about and not the noise, I think you probably would have saw a different result. But, you know, they spoke last night, and that's what we heard, when we heard them.
Did Republican leaders, and there's an echo chamber at the State House, it's overwhelmingly conservative down there, did they underestimate how much of a reaction they would get? They saw the protest at the State House. Whether this was in May or in August, people were upset about this. They felt like their vote was being taken away. Did they just underestimate that feeling?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I know that there was the conversation earlier was about Senate Bill 5 and this. Is that, I mean, we guys got to step back and remember, like, what was the actual issue on the ballot last night? The issue was just the question that the General Assembly was posing to the voters to say, do you want to amend the Constitution this way? Now, obviously, the General Assembly, if they chose to pass it, to offer it as a question in a certain direction, to say, you know, that they wanted to change it to 60%. But Senate Bill 5 was a policy change.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that was just a law that they enacted that the voters had to proactively do a referendum on. This was just a question at the end of the day that is always going to require the voters' approval. And I don't think they underestimated. There's going to be, you know, opposition on, you know, virtually any issue. And I think you saw it here to some extent by certain groups. But I don't think it was that underestimated.
Mike Curtin, we'll bring you into the conversation. Mike, it's easier to explain an election when you win. In your mind, what made the difference?
Well, I think when you bring a proposal this momentous, changing 111 years of Ohio history, the burden, of course, is on the yes side. It was a very heavy burden, and it came out of nowhere. I mean, even though Frank has said correctly in the past that there had been a lot of discussion within the State House walls about taking a look at the threshold it takes to amend the Constitution, there had been no real public discussion. I mean, those of us on the Constitutional Modernization Commission had talked about it for a number of years, but, you know, we had maybe a couple dozen people paying close attention to us. So for the general public, this was brand new, and it hit them in lame duck last year on November 17th, you know, right after the 22 general election. So here you had Frank LaRose and Brian Stewart come forth and unveil this proposal, and it was a shock, I think. It was a shock to me, and even though I'm a junkie and I was part of the Constitutional Modernization Commission, this had not been discussed openly. And so they had a heavy, heavy burden to prove, and I think the skepticism was apparent throughout the campaign, and that, of course, accrued to the benefit of our side, the no side.
Frank, had they done things a little bit differently? Say they had gone with 55%, and also a part of this that you would make the initiated statute process have more teeth and that any voter-approved state law would last, say, 5 years. It would have been harder to explain, but it would have been seen as perhaps more reasonable than this.
You may have had more bipartisan support in that in that context because, as my friend Mike Curtin has obviously talked through over the last number of months, you know, when he was involved in the Constitutional Modernization Commission, he was talking about a proposal that would do something like that. And I mean, I don't think that lowering the threshold to 55 or from 60 was going to be the game changer as it is. But if you gave the other opportunities to change some of the other procedures like the initiated statute process, sure, you could. But I think regardless of what the issue was at the end of the day and what would have been actually in it, I think in this given year, you know, and with this given question, I'm pretty confident that I think both sides were going to be dug in one way or the other.
Mike Curtin, was this a vote on the Constitution of Ohio or was this a vote on abortion rights, yesterday's election?
Both and more. It was for me and for a lot of people, it was about how you treat the Constitution and how you treat the owners of the Constitution. So for me, it was not an abortion issue or a minimum wage issue or a redistricting issue, although it was all of those things for different folks. So, I mean, for me, it was a an issue of how you approach a fundamental change, changing over a century of custom and practice on a constitutional issue. But we had a very diverse coalition. There were more than 200 organizations from large to small in our group. And so there was a very, very diverse set of interests at play here. And that accrued to our benefit as well. On the yes side, you know, you had people like the Ohio Restaurant Association concerned about a possible minimum wage hike. You had some people concerned about other issues on things that may or may not appear on the ballot the next couple years or few years. And on our side, it was a similar situation. Organized labor was all in on our side because they fear some things that could be coming down the road that would erode union rights. And so there was you know, there were dozens of issues at play here, just depending on what interest group or what set of people we're talking about.
Frank, the same question to you. How much of this had abortion was a major role in this election? How much of a role was it? Was it 50% of the drive, 75% of the drive, 100%? As Frank LaRose said, and then did some math afterwards.
Yeah, you know, if I knew the answer to that specific question about percentage-wise, I'd be a very probably rich man.
Yeah.
I think it was a big issue, and I think, unfortunately, it became a big issue because that's not what the question was on the ballot. And it turned into that by, I think, the opposition. You got to give them credit. They did a good job of trying to couch it as being a question about abortion. But at the end of the day, it wasn't. It was just a simple question about process.
Would you admit that the timing of this election was about abortion, though, and the margin they chose, 60%, was about abortion?
I don't think 60% had anything to do with, like, you've got a couple other states that actually have that threshold in the Constitution for what it requires. You know, you could arguably say it should be 66%, which is the super majority, which mm-hmm. there is precedent for issues like that too. So I don't think it was the threshold. Was it an issue that was in the background that was playing a role? Yes, but as I've talked about in many of my conversations with Mike, they've been talking about this issue for over 10 years, and it sort of came together finally this year. And unfortunately, they had to do it at the August election instead of the May election, but it came together this year.
But it came together because of the abortion issue on November's ballot.
I'm sure that probably, provided a little bit more impetus to it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Mike Curtin, another claim that the yes side is saying that they were outspent and they were outraised by out of state special interest. And your side did, raise a lot of money from folks in Washington, D.C. and from California. Did special interest play an outsized role in this election, which special interest, out-of-state special interest, were criticized by both sides?
I think outside money was huge on both ends. And at some point, when all the post-election finance reports are filed, we ought to have a little better clue as to that. But there's no question. I think the lion's share of money on both sides came from out of state. What qualifies as a special interest or not is in the eye of the beholder. Given Ohio's status in the pantheon of states here, given the stakes at play, there is going to be a lot of national money in this thing, just as there will be in November on the reproductive rights amendment.
That was Mike Curtin, opponent to Issue 1, and Frank Strigari, a supporter of Issue 1. We'll be right back.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.
This is Snolly Oster from WOSU Public Media. Abortion was Issue 1 in the Issue 1 campaign. It was the reason for the amendment's 60% threshold. It was why Ohioans voted on it in August before November's vote. And it was why opponents to Issue 1 were able to mobilize support and raise millions of dollars. We now turn our attention to the looming fight over the November proposed amendment guaranteeing abortion rights in the Constitution. To discuss that, we talked to Mike Ganadakis from Ohio Right to Life and Lauren Blavelt from Ohioans United for Reproductive Rights. Mike, you and your side arguing for passage of Issue 1, you said over and over again it was too easy to change the Ohio Constitution. Well, you tried to change the Constitution, came up short. Do you still think it's too easy to change the Constitution?
Well, it's not easy when you are battling out-of-state money, when you're having commercials
with your own out-of-state money.
And we had out-of-state money. They had a lot of out-of-state money. Mm-hmm. But look, at the end of the day, we received 1.3 million votes. We won 59 of the 88 counties, but it wasn't enough. And the voters always get it right. We were talking in the side room here earlier. I believe in democracy. I believe in Ohio's decisions, whether it's in my favor or not. The voters spoke last night. You know, I'm concerned about our future. I'm sure we'll get into it here, what's coming in November and years to come. But at the end of the day, it's exactly what we wanted. We asked the legislature to allow each of us to debate this issue in all 88 counties and cast our ballots. My side might have won. We didn't. But at least we had a chance to weigh in. Now we have to live with the results.
Was it voters rejected the idea, or was it what we are hearing today, that we didn't have enough time, the other side had a head start, there was out-of-state special interest money, or did voters just say, you know what, we like just the simple majority to change the Constitution?
The vote is the vote, but, you know, still 1.3 million Ohioans thought it was right to protect the Constitution. But at the end of the day, and on the losing side, the majority of the voters last night thought the system is fine as it is. They wanted to protect what they saw as protecting their Constitution, although we argued the opposite. So, yeah, they want to keep status quo.
Lauren Blauvelt, was yesterday a proxy vote on the abortion issue?
Yesterday was a tremendous day for Ohio voters. Our voices were heard, and we saw the momentum going into the election, that more people were on the doors calling their neighbors, calling other voters. We had a volunteer share a picture of her in her pajamas. She was like, this is what civic engagement looks like. And so we saw the result of that. Ohio voters were able to learn about the special election, understand that this was their time to protect democracy, and absolutely, it was their time to protect their opportunity to protect reproductive freedom in November. So we do see the support for abortion access. The majority of Ohioans support abortion, and they want to be able to speak for themselves in November to protect reproductive freedom and abortion access.
If abortion rights were not on the November ballot, do you think we would have had the turnout we had yesterday? Do you think issue one would have failed at all, or certainly by the margin that it did?
I want to thank the tremendous coalition that was One Person, One Vote. It was diverse. It was nonpartisan. Over 200 organizations were against issue one. And it was a broad, across Ohio effort. So really want to thank the volunteers that stepped up because they made this vote possible. And we were really proud, Ohioans United for Reproductive Rights, to be part of that broad coalition. And absolutely, abortion was on the ballot. They saw this as an important right to protect one person, one vote, so that their vote would matter in November, so that they can vote to protect abortion come November.
Mike, I want to talk to about the boogeyman, those so-called special interests. Everyone's interest is special.
Indeed.
But they're bad special interests when they don't agree with my special interests.
Correct.
According to campaign filings, and this is September, this is back last month, and we'll get more in September, so these are incomplete. But the coalition supporting the measure called Protect Our Higher Constitution was funded almost entirely by an Illinois businessman, Richard Uihlein. He gave $4 million of the campaign's $4.8 million. For the no on one side, 85% of its $15 million came from progressive groups in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. and in California. Both sides used out-of-state special interests, completely legal. Is it disingenuous for either side to say that the Ohio Constitution is now beholden to these special interests?
Yes and no. Look, the bottom line is we called on Ohioans to stop the Dick Uihlein's of the world from coming into Ohio, the Washington, D.C., the Hollywood, Californias. We said we can stop all that. It's happening. As you said moments ago, it was illegal. It's absolutely legal to do. But if we don't like it, all interest special nonetheless, right? Mm-hmm. We could have stopped it with a yes vote last night, but, you know, the voters chose otherwise. So, yes, do we want – is it a good thing? No. Ultimately, we're Buckeyes. We should make our own decisions here in Ohio. But it pours in from out of states, and it's going to continue to. It's going to be just 10 times worse moving forward in November here.
The no side – argued the same thing, that this is an outside, out-of-state special interest trying to interfere in Ohio's Constitution, trying to make it harder to change. But then you accepted money from groups in Washington, D.C. and in California.
It was incredibly important that Ohio voters know this special election was happening and that they had the opportunity to make the decision for themselves. And we were proud to have the support from Ohioans and the folks who are supporting our Constitution, the right we've had for over 100 years. And ultimately, Ohioans didn't want to give a 40% minority the right to make all ballot measure decisions moving forward. One person, one vote, majority rule, a fair election, and that's what we're going to see in November.
Mike, what happened in the counties that Donald Trump has won the past two presidential elections that voted no on this issue? This issue aligns more, you know, in a macro sense with progressives. But like you look at Mahoning County up there in Northeast Ohio, Trumbull County in Northeast Ohio voted pretty soundly against issue one, but they also voted pretty soundly for Donald Trump. What happened there?
Yeah, look at Delaware County, too. I mean, our side really took it on the chin in Delaware County. So to include those other two you just mentioned, at the end of the day, I think Ohioans, we didn't lose Ohioans last night. Ohioans wanted to just keep status quo with our Constitution. They're still pro-life, they're still pro-family, and they're still pro-Trump. Donald Trump, if he runs, you know, I don't know if he's going to or not, but if he does, I'm sure he's going to be very successful here in Ohio, as he was the last two times. I just think on this specific issue, this, you know, this wasn't a mandate for abortion. This wasn't a mandate against Republicans. This was specifically about whether or not we protect our Constitution. We never gave the voters enough credit. You know, there was a ton of articles written that no one's going to show up for an August election. And then we had 3 million people show up. We knew they were going to show up. We just had to convince them, and we didn't do a good enough job doing it.
You really... So you didn't put it in August in the hopes of keeping turnout down to make your organization more powerful and get your vote out?
Certainly not. There's never a bad time to have an election on this Constitution. It could have been May. It could have been June. Whenever. 3 million people showed up to vote. I think that speaks for itself. You know, Ohioans are smart. They knew there was an election, and they voted.
Lauren, if this was a proxy vote on abortion, which it perhaps was, they come out of, you know, basically supporting indirectly abortion rights, but yet Ohioans have overwhelmingly voted for Mike DeWine, who is strongly opposed to abortion rights. They've gerrymandered, the legislature is gerrymandered, but anti-abortion rights folks dominate the legislature, every statewide office. Why can't folks who support abortion rights elect candidates like they are getting issues passed or defeated?
Gerrymandering makes a huge difference. We lose when our elected officials are able to choose their voters instead of voters being able to choose their elected officials. And that is something that Ohio voters spoke on and said they wanted fair elections.
But there's no gerrymandering for the governors, well said.
You're right. And when we see loss locally, or, you know, in the elected officials that we know, sometimes, you know, we, like Mike says, you know, sometimes when you're in an election, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But we lose when investment doesn't come into Ohio for some of these elections. So what we're going to see now, what we saw for last night, what we're going to see in November, what we're going to see moving forward is re-energizing Ohio voters. They're going to get to hear from both sides, and they're going to get to go to the ballot box and make a difference. When they vote directly on abortion, Ohioans, just like Americans across the country in 2022, they're going to vote to protect abortion access.
Let's talk more about this upcoming campaign. Lauren, this was a more nuanced issue, issue one. There were probably a lot of conservatives out there, a fair number anyway, who oppose abortion rights that voted no on issue one because they didn't want to change that majority vote on the Constitution. So they might vote no on the abortion rights amendment in November. Does that make your job harder in this campaign coming up?
A majority of Ohioans support abortion access. And why they support abortion access is because they support and they believe that abortion is a personal medical decision that should not be decided by the government. This decision in November is really about, does the government make personal medical decisions for you and your family? And if we don't vote in November, we will see a total abortion ban. We know we will see a 6-week ban. We already have one in place. We have anti-abortion justices that will likely rule against the 6-week ban. So we will have it in place if we don't win in November. And then we will see more restrictions be taken away from our reproductive freedom. So we have to vote yes in November.
When campaigning for a referendum, it's generally easier, to get people to vote no, because it's change, there's confusion. Now you're asking people to vote yes. You're asking them to vote for a change. It would uphold the Roe standard, which was state law up until recently and is state law now while the heartbeat law is on hold. But you are looking to change the Constitution to guarantee abortion rights. You face a tougher task, no?
We do. And Ohioans United for Reproductive Freedom is also a broad, diverse coalition. We turned in over 700,000 signatures to get on the ballot from all 88 counties. That wasn't the strategy. That was volunteers and voters who wanted to vote to protect reproductive freedom. And that momentum, that energy is what we are going to drive into November. It is on us to talk to Ohio voters, and we will. We're going to talk to Ohio voters across the state, and they're going to have the opportunity to protect their individual, their fundamental freedom to have whatever reproductive health care decisions they need to make for themselves and their family.
Mike, you have to be concerned when 57% of Ohioans rejected issue one, and it was in many ways a proxy vote on the abortion issue. You are underdogs in November. Would you say?
Oh, not at all. I think we're in a great position for November. Look, Mike, not one ad that the no side ran talked about abortion. Why? If this was a proxy vote,
I got a
abortion,
mailer
why
from the
they
no
talk
side
it?
That was about abortion.
Yeah, not one TV commercial.
Okay.
I talked about abortion. It was about, you know, protecting the Constitution, their version of it, of course. So
it was they had an ad with Frank LaRose saying 100% abortion. That was on TV as well.
Yeah, but they never once advocated for that vote no on one to protect abortion rights. Yeah. I didn't see it at all during the entire campaign. So this wasn't a proxy vote on abortion. This specifically had to do. And there's not a chance in heck that those red counties you mentioned a moment ago are going to just now all of a sudden be pro-choice, going to change their whole life perception, their faith, their family, their values, and say, hey, now we're pro-choice because of issue one in the Constitution. Just not going to happen. Look, we're going to have weed and abortion on the ballot this November. And that's a bridge too far for Ohioans. And they're going to, like you said, confusion. They're going to say it's a bridge too far, and they're going to vote no on both.
That was Mike Gonadakis from Ohio Right to Life, and he was squaring off against Lauren Blauvelt from Ohioans United for Reproductive Rights. It's time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. And we have to give it to Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman for complaining that one reason the yes on one side lost is because the no on one side had a head start. It's an odd take. Since Republicans came up with the idea, they started talking about this last November, they set the election date. It's like the hare blaming the tortoise for not joining him for a nap. Remember, the hare came up with the idea of the race in Aesop's fable. He invited the tortoise to run. He got a big lead. When he took a nap, the tortoise won. Now the hare is blaming the tortoise for not joining him in a nap. Aesop would have written a fable about issue one. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, and our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.